Okay, it is great to be back here. Last time I was here, I think it was maybe a year ago, we spoke about Choshen Mishpat, very deep in Choshen Mishpat. Tonight's going to be a much lighter topic, but because today's Tu B'Av, or was Tu B'Av, I felt to share some different shilas that come up from such an interesting, unique day, or Yontif, within the Poskim. The one interesting thing I just found out just earlier, I was talking to my son who's up in camp, I was telling my shver this, and he stayed up all night learning. Last night I said, I never heard an Indian stay up all night learning Tu B'Av. So one of the reasons brought down in the Gemara, the celebrations of Tu B'Av, is that the days get shorter at this point, around now, and the nights get longer, which means work ends earlier, and there's more time to learn at night. So there's Indian, at least in this camp, in Camp Agudat Masmidim, they stayed up, I think, the past five summers, they stayed up all night learning, Vasikins earlier, this makes it easier. They had breakfast, went to sleep, and then heard a shir from Rav Noach Olbam at 12 o'clock. It's a very nice way to spend Tu B'Av. It's an Indian of day of Limud HaTorah. But let's share some of the tshuvas that the poskim talk about related to Tu B'Av. The first one is the base Mordechai, who is Mordechai Fogelman. He was a Holocaust survivor, and he actually lived, created a kehila, built a shul nearby Haifa. Interestingly, he has another tshuva. He talks about Tu B'Av in a different context. He was asked the question, he was a survivor, and he lost many relatives in the Holocaust. And someone else had asked him, what do you do if you don't know when your relative was killed? You know your relative was killed, but you don't know what day. So when do you celebrate the yahrzeit? So he said you should celebrate the yahrzeit when one finds out, when they found out, the shmur, the day they heard, that should be the yahrzeit. He said he found out, Rav Fogelman himself found out his father was nifter. He found out his father was killed. When did he hear? On Tu B'Av. So for him, Tu B'Av was actually the yahrzeit he celebrated for, commemorated for his father. That being said, interesting, he asks this Shaila now, whether Tu B'Av is a Yom Tov. For him, it certainly was not a Yom Tov. For him, it was a day, it was a sad day. But he wanted to know whether or not Tu B'Av is considered a Yom Tov. And he couples this along with the question of whether Motzei Yom Kippurim is also considered a Yom Tov Lagabe Nidarim. So he brings down the Maharil. The Maharil asked the question about Erev Yom Kippur, and then from there we'll go to Motzei Yom Kippur, and from there we'll talk about Tu B'Av. Erev Yom Kippur. Is Erev Yom Kippur considered a yantif? Regarding which halacha? So the Maharil said, let's say a guy takes a nether. He wants to, self-control of drinking wine, eating meat. And he says, I'm not going to eat meat, I'm not going to drink wine, except on a Shabbos and yantif. Only those days will I eat and drink wine. So what's the din of Erev Yom Kippur? So the Maharil said, Erev Yom Kippur is certainly called a yantif. It's a day of a certain level of simcha. And therefore, one would be able to eat meat and drink wine if he took another on Erev Yom Kippur. And he goes on and brings him a mefurish raya from the Rambam. The Rambam says something similar, but the opposite, that a person makes a nether that he's going to fast on every single Sunday and Tuesday, Yom Rishon, Yom Shlishi. And let's say the Sunday or Tuesday encounters a Yom Tov. What would be? Should he fast? Or should he eat on like a Simchas Yom Tov? So he said that if he encounters, if it's Pogeya Yom Tov or Erev Yom Kippurim, he has to still fast because he took a neder. But if it was Pogabo Chanukah Purim, the neder actually is pushed off and he should not fast. Because Chanukah Purim is only a Medivrei Sofrim, and Divrei Sofrim Tzrichim Chizik. We have to overcompensate for Divrei Sofrim. But what comes out from the Rambam is that Erev Yom Kippur is coupled with a din of a Yom Tov, and the person who makes a neder that he has to fast on these days, he should fast. And the flip side, the Maharil's question, if a person makes a neder to eat meat only on these days, Yom Tov, Erev Yom Kippur does qualify as a Yom Tov. That's his first part. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Erev Yom Kippur, you can fast?
Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah deraisa, and some say they're bound to eat, dafka to eat on Erev Yom Kippur.
Right, but he was saying, the Rambam says,
if you take a neder that every Sunday and Tuesday is, you're going to fast, and it happens to be that year Erev Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday, the din would be you would actually have to fast. That neder, exactly. The neder overrides the yantif. That's what he writes. Fine.
Just purely conception, what would the logic, I mean, why wouldn't you say Mushbaviyomay there?
Why wouldn't you say that case of Mushbaviyomay? So there, nedarim and shvuas are different. That's the concept we hold by shvuah. The person ready to take a shvuah, you can't take a shvuah on that which already exists. But by neder, the neder is on the gaver, the individual, that person. So he's also not saying a neder to be oker erim kippur. It happened, just falls out that way. It wasn't his purpose. It was every Sunday, Tuesday, he didn't plan the whole calendar ahead. They could have changed the calendar last minute. So his neder's chal.
Migo, it's chal and everything else, it's chal on that.
Exactly. So that's what he says about Erev Kippur. Now, what about Matzah Yom HaKippurim? Does that have a din of a Yom Tif? So he goes to bring a couple of rayas from Tosos and the Ramah, where the Tosos in Yuma Daf Pei Zayin says that on Yom Kippur itself, there's an Indian to be Mechin the Suda of Matzah Yom Kippur, because it's a Kain Yom Tif. And he quotes a Medrash that after Yom Kippur would be over, a Baskil called Biyotzeis Velmeritz, they'd announce, Lech echel besimcha lachmecha v'chule. Go eat with great joy. Eat your bread. It was a day of, it was a moment of simcha. And there's a Tosos who says this as well. And the Ramaz language in Simen Tav Reish Chaf Hei, the ochlin usmeichin b'matzah Yom HaKippurim dehave ktsas yamtif. And based on these rayas, the Beis Mordechai concludes that matzah Yom Kippur is also called a yamtif as well. Now, interesting, just as a side point, the Yis Yantiv Matzah Yom Kippur Yantiv, Matzah Yom Kippur Yantiv is the Suda. The Gra writes, I think the Gra writes this, that Yom Kippur, Be'etzim, we know it's a fast day, but it's a day of Simcha. It's a unique type of fast day. There's only other, one other Yantiv, one other Tainus, which is a Din of Simcha. Anyone know which?
What?
No, well, it will be. The element of Moed, right, there's a Velus. There's another Tainus that's a day of Simcha. Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is a day of Simcha. Even though we're fasting, it's a day of Simcha. There's a Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and a Rashi in the beginning of Maseches Megillah. That's also a Tainus Midin Simcha. You're celebrating the Nes. Since they fasted in the times of Esther, we fast also, but not because it's a Velus, because that's what they did. We're just reenacting the whole Sipur that happened. Fine. So says the Gra, Yom Kippur is really a day of Simcha. There should be eating. But we can't. The Torah says don't eat. So we have to actually replace, there should be three meals in Yom Kippur. Because it's really like a Shabbos, Yom Shabbason, Shabbat Shabbason. So where do you have the three meals? Meal one is Erev Yom Kippur. Meal two is Matzah Yom Kippur. So those are two meals. Where's the third meal? Purim. Purim Kippurim. The Suda we have in Purim actually is somehow the Shalosh Shudas of Yom HaKippur. But we see from this that Matzah Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah of eating and the day is called the Yom Tov. So this guy who took the neder would be able to eat meat and drink wine on Erev Yom Kippur and Matzah Yom Kippur. Now,
presumption is you would need Shalosh Shudas because it's not Yom Tov, it's not Yom Tov, Shalosh
Shudas. Exactly, right. Exactly. The three meals would be the din of Shabbos, exactly. Now, what happens with Tubav? Is Tubav considered a Yom Tov? So, he first writes, well, it should be a Kal V'Chomer, interesting Kal V'Chomer. He says, if Matzah Yom Kippur, which we don't find any Mishnah or Gemara calling it a Yom Tov, and yet, we see it's brought down by Tosfos and the Ramah, who call it a Ktas Yomtif. So then, Tubav, which the Mefurish Mishra says is called a Yomtif. So then, that should be a Kal V'Chomer. If Matzah Yom Kippur is considered a Yomtif Legabe Nedarim, certainly Tubav should be considered a Yomtif Legabe Nedarim as well. But then, the Beis Mordechai says, not so clear actually. He says, I understand Matzah Yom Kippur. It's a main yomtiv of Yom Kippur itself. Yom Kippur, less man de palik, it's a yomtiv, obviously. So Matzah Yom Kippur, which is a continuation of that simcha, also has a din of yomtiv. As opposed to Tubav, even though the Mishnah calls it a yomtiv, nobody calls Tubav a yomtiv. And the way we speak, and the Nedarim goes based on Lashon B'nei Adam, that's how it works, nobody calls Tubav a yomtiv. Maybe recently, it's now these small Yom Tovim have been coming more on the horizon, Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat, and you know, Purim Katan. But you know, past 20, 30 years, these were not big days. Even now, it's not a big day, but it's not a Yantif, but Lashem B'nei Adam. And therefore, he concludes that's not called a Yantif Tu B'Av, Legabe the Halachas of Nedarim. He ends up saying, he quotes from the Chidah. Chidah writes in Mefurish, in the one of his Shuvas, so he says, the fact that we call Tu B'Av a Yom Tov in the Mishnah is just a Lashon Mushal, it's borrowed term. But it's not meant to be taken literally. It's not really a Yom Tov. And the reason why, because the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry within the Shvatim now, so it's a Shtikel Simcha now. But it's not a real Yom Tov. and therefore he dilutes the term Yantif found in the Mishnah and concludes that Rosh Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av are very similar in that they're both celebrating a victory. A victory, Yom Kippur, we get Slicha Mechila, and Tu B'Av is a certain victory of the various things mentioned in the Gemara. It's like a Yom Tava of the Rabbanan. If you make a Yom Tif, a Suda of a Siyam, you make a Yom Tava. It's a Yom Tif. It's not really a Yom Tif when you make a Siyam. So it's just like a celebration of a Hodah. But Yom Kippur, of course, differs than Tu B'Av because Yom Kippur is also a Yom Tif Lagabi, the Isser Malacha and the Karbanos. So his conclusion is in the base Mordechai, the Tu B'Av, in fact, is not called a Yom Tif. That's his conclusion. So it's not a Yom Tif. That's Tshuva Aleph. I don't know if people normally go through different tshuvas here. I'm not sure what's normally done, but I don't care. But
that's
I'm going through.
I was just saying, yeah. I think you get to decide.
Okay, good. Well. That's what I'm doing. I decided already. So, okay.
Right.
Good.
No, I think the potpourri of tshuvas is right. We have topical. Sometimes people do topical.
Okay, good. Okay, fine. So now, let's move to this tshuva is a little bit more well known, Rav Moshe. It comes up very recently within 9 days about what qualifies for a siyum.
Why don't we say Tachanun if it's not a Yantif? I mean, like, once you start getting into the nitty gritty of
right.
why are we not saying Tachanun?
Great question. So it's not, we don't say Tachanun in many days. Even you don't need to be a Yantif to not say Tachanun. Mm-hmm. We have all the any excuse is a good excuse not to say Tachanun. We say Lam Natsayach though.
There's two Tu B'Av though. We also know Hesped. There's also no Hesped. Is there? Right.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I would think you probably can do a hesped on. I think the only thing we do not do is tachanun. Everything else, I think, is in. It's tachanun. Any excuse, we just do it tachanun. It's the first thing we do away with. But everything else, I think is still remains the same. Okay. Now, with regards to what qualifies for a siyum, for eating meat during the 9 days. So he was asked the question, Moshe was asked the question, what's the halacha of a chabur of people? They finished a sefer in Tanakh, whatever it might be, and they want to make a siyum. They want to see him. His question here is really tiny to Erev Pesach, but also applies to the 9 days. Could this work?
They want to eat meat.
So two things: Erev Pesach, and then eat meat 9 days.
They usually learn that's and now they're Messiah, or they're trying to find a reason why not to, what to eat, and they'll be sufficient.
No. That they finish the siyum. They finish the sefer.
They're learning now.
They're learning. And now they finish it. Now, can this be a siyum that qualifies to be matir them to eat meat? Does this work? Because what we've known is a siyum and a masechta. But whoever thought of learning a sefer in Tanakh, that would qualify. So the individual who sent the shaila to him wanted to bring a raya from the fact that we make a big suda, or really a big kiddush, when we complete the sefer Torah, Kriyas Torah, every single year. Simchas Torah, there's a big kiddush. That's a big kiddush. It's a big suda. So why not also during the 9 days? It's also a seam of maybe not the whole Chumash, but the sefer of, I don't know, Mishlei, Tilim, whatever they might be learning, Yeshua. Why wouldn't that work? So the Moshe responds to that raya. He says, that's not the best raya, because you might say that Kriyas Torah, which is a Kriyas L'chol Yisrael, the whole day is a Yom Tov, Kriyas Torah is a Chiv every single week, that's very, very different. That's maybe shiny, because it's a chiyuv, because all of Klal Yisrael does it. But he says, I like the raya, but it's not full proof to prove this point. So what does he say? He says as follows. If you look at the paragraph of Al Mikol Makom Nira Lefiyon Yes Daiti, it appears to me, right, to Moshe, Shadin Emes, it's true, that learning a sefer of Tanakh should qualify. Diaf Limud Bi'in Hasvarm Shatorah Shebechsav Nami Yesh Lahach Shivat Siyim Su'uda Mitzvah. When you finish Mishlei, you finish Yeshua, that should qualify for Suda's mitzvah. Matzinu delav dafka siyum maseches l'lumot. It's not only something that you learn, not only limud Torah, ela kol mitzvah shenimshecha meshech zman. Any mitzvah, not learning even, any mitzvah that takes time, nami yesh simcha besiyuma, when you complete a mitzvah. Kiti isa berashbam, the Gemara Bava Basra quotes this sugi of Tu B'Av as well. That Yom Tov shel Chamisha Sabav, who mishum sheposkin bo milichros etin lemarach lefish bosa yom mashlimim mitzvah gedola kazos. One of the reasons why Tu B'Av is a ktsas Yom Tov, because that was a day they dedicated all, they completed the dedications of all the wood. Right, remember, it started to rain soon in Eretz Yisrael. They're not too far away from the Sukkos, and then rain starts. All the wood is going to be wet. So this is the end of the Zman where they gave in all the wood. And that was completing the mitzvah of dedication of wood to the Beis HaMikdash. So they call this, the Rashbam calls that a yantif. That's a shtickle, or it's a simcha when you complete a mitzvah. You look at the next page now. Even though there's no raya that you have to, or there's not even a mitzvah to make a suda on Tubav, who heard such a thing? And also, I imagine their time as well, when they finished the dedication of the wood, they didn't make a suda. They didn't fast, but they didn't have a whole meal and meat. Mishum, do you know why they didn't have a whole siyum, a whole suda, when they finished dedicating the wood to the Beis Hamikdash? Mishum de lo hayu anashim yuchadim shem asu kol mitzvah. There are no individuals you could, point the finger at who completed the mitzvah of dedicating wood. Elazemat, vizemat. This family gave a few things of wood, and that family gave a few logs of wood. Atcher gamru, until it was finished, Rabbi Gemara kol Yisrael b'kol. It was everyone as a entity, the nation. No individual felt like this was my mitzvah. For the entire Am Yisrael, no, don't fast. But it wasn't like any individual felt like this was my mitzvah I completed. In contrast to finishing a sefer in Tanakh. There's a sin of simcha when you finish a mitzvah. Individuals, they did a mitzvah for a long period of time. It could be, building a shul. It could be, making tefillin. You take time till you complete it. You should make taka suda to celebrate how you feel. That's what he writes. Now, so therefore he says, individuals, if you complete a mitzvah, meshech zman, you should taka make a suda. Look at the last few lines of this paragraph. The Ode Efsher, Sha'af Shalo Chayva Besuda, Begmar Mitzah, Karisis Eitzim, Mikomakam Im Asu Suda, Haisa Suda's Mitzvah. Maybe even though they didn't make a Suda in the times of dedicating the wood, but still, had they made one, it would still be a Kim of Suda's Mitzvah. And therefore, he does like the Raya of Tubav, that celebration of Tubav, that Simcha that exists as a Raya for finishing any Mitzvah. So, Lechora, if you happen to, I'm just saying, if you finish making tefillin and it happens, boom, during the 9 days, so it sounds like from Rav Moshe, you can make a suda, you could have meat, you could drink wine whenever you have a completion of a mitzvah of that meshech zman.
Conceptually, I just two thoughts on that. One would be, would you consider shavuos and part at least as a suda's mitzvah for finishing the mitzvah of Yerusalem?
That's an interesting question. It's meshech zman, right?
Yeah, Certainly,
each individual does it.
The other question is, he seems to be saying that if multiple people contribute a small little bit to something, you wouldn't necessarily consider it a global mitzvah. How would that fit if everyone learns a daf on a masechta?
It probably wouldn't qualify. If it sounds like from Ramosha, it probably would not qualify. Everyone does a little bit. His case was where they all learned together, everything similarly. But I imagine this would call into question those who perhaps make a seam. Now, it's just saying Kaddish, so that won't be the biggest deal. But let's say it's going to to warrant to eating meat and drinking wine, I imagine this probably would not qualify of 10 guys splitting up to learn a couple of blot. Now, he says very strongly the last paragraph here. He writes, Ein be'agra, she'uchich me'arashbam, she'besim maseches tzarech l'smach v'nikres sudas mitzvah. When you finish a masechta, you need to be happy and you have to have a sudas mitzvah. You can't just like not do anything. There's a must. It's tzricha. I remember Rav Nevensal, I never saw this, but I heard of Nevensal. Once in a while, he's been caught like eating by himself in the corner of like a little chocolate bar. Yeah. And he said, Nevensal, chocolate bars. So he fed it. He made a simon, Shah simon, whatever he made a simon, he had to celebrate. That was his suda. That was his simcha. When we first benuka Yosef, stam bechol mitzvah shekeshashlima osin simcha mishav yomtiv. Anytime you complete a mitzvah, you should make a simcha, make a suda. So imkain vaadai. Therefore, Rav Moshe concludes yesh lelamed miza. You can learn from this lama miza. Shagam limun mikra bechabura, shem nimshach ezezman, that takes, it didn't say how long, but takes some time. Shlo gara mikol mitzvah, sheish lasos simcha. It's no worse than any other mitzvah. Umishta vihid nechshevesu das mitzvah, kishagomim ezez sefer kishlam devim. You learn be'in yet. Not just like a run through, shoftim. Remember in high school, we had these tests every few months on, whatever sefer, Yeshua, shoftim, lachim, shmuel. But we didn't learn it well. We just had these notes. We kind of just chazer the notes. That's not in. That's bekiyas. If you learn Be'in, you learn with the Rashi, you learn with the Radak, you learn with the Malbim, so that's Be'in, so then it's worthy of making a Suda. Aval Pashit, Shurak Kishalamdu Kifi Perish Emes. You have to choose a commentator that's Emes, Rashi, Radak. Not just regular people. Those people who have these scholarly works and themes understandings, that doesn't qualify. Has to be Ian using the Rishon. That's his strong Musa he gives at the end of this tshuva. So that's the second tshuva about making a sim on a limud of an entire Sefer of Tanakh. Okay. Any questions before we move to the third tshuva that comes from Tubav? Okay.
I'm curious to know who he was, what specifically got him upset about. Who is he referring to? I'm so interested in knowing who he's.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But there's no shortage of people trying to, analyze the Bible and things of that sort in their own way. Bible critics, exactly, right. Okay, the next two tshuvas are from the Hisoris tshuva, written by one of the grandsons of the Chassam Sofer. He was killed in Auschwitz in 95. He writes, interestingly, at the top of every single page, he writes in parentheses, he sees there, Asoris Ein Lismoch Al Horazu Klal Ein Bagdama. He wrote this even though it's Shalos and Tshuvos. He says, don't rely on it. Heard Rav Asher Weiss quote his Tshuvos once in a while, and he says, I could argue on him because he says you could argue on him. He says, don't accept me.
So
it's
right that if Mechaber writes that, Derech Hanava, you could disown
him. Right. Mestama, yeah, he's dying, yeah. But Rav Asher Weiss says, no, you're allowed to argue. Fine. So now, this interesting tshuva he has about the Edin, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, two different places, about the halacha of getting married, or really a minhag, getting married in the first half of the month versus the second half of the month. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah that once you get married the first half of the month, because it's a good simon, when the moon is getting bigger, it's a growth. At the second half of the month, where the moon begins to wax, I guess, waxing and waning, wax, which is wanes, so then it gets smaller, so then there would be, you shouldn't get married. That's what he's addressing. Now, interestingly, there's just Pnei Shua, the very first Pnei Shua in Meseches Ksubis. So he talks about this concept, and it seems most people are not machbid on this inyan. It's almost impossible. Imagine you have half the days of the year now are cut out. Oh, really? Is it? Oh. Another deal. got it. So Pnei Shua, he's wondering, this is a segula that people were machbid on. Now there's not many are, but he was wondering, why are people machbid on this segula, this bracha? There's a better segula that is mefurish in the Mishnah. The very first Mishnah, Maseches Ksuba, says, Yom Ravi. And the Gemara started, the bracha of the Dogim, the bracha of the Adam. Why are we ignoring that? I don't understand. He goes through the whole Shaka Tari that we showed him, whether or not that's really a bracha, whether it's an Eitzah Tova. It's actually the Shita Mekubetzes, he doesn't quote this though. The Shita Mekubetzes, who was a Talmud of the Rebbe of the Arizal, so he writes that the real reason of the Mishnah is not because Besul Nisai is beyond revealed because they're going to Bezin. The real reason is bracha. But had it said the real reason is bracha, no one would have believed it, taken it seriously. So you have to think of another reason. He ends up rejecting Lamaskana. But either way, you see the brachas are taken seriously by the Shita Mekubetzes. Pnei Shua also, he says, everyone talks about getting married the first half of the month. What about the bracha? What day of the week? Why not that? So he ends up saying, that practice people kept. This idea of the first half of the month isn't mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. That's better from the time of the bracha that we have. It's in the Braisa and the Bar Kapara. I don't understand it. So he concludes, nearly shekoha rotsa l'taim divrei chachamim. Those who want to fulfill the words of the chachamim, yesh alochosh l'chadchila l'taim of the bracha. You should be concerned with the reason of a bracha of the day of the week. V'yanuchala brachos haroshu k'medumo li shekei nagu b'kama kilos kodesh v'minag vasikin. He's very strong and worried about the bracha of which day of the week. And then next, try to figure out which day of the month. Now, days of the month, this is the question that the Hisoros Tshuva was talking about. Is Tubav, let's say Tubav, the way the mole works out, Tubav sometimes is, the moon is still waxing, sometimes it's maybe at the peak, and sometimes it's waning. So I got a few people last night asked me, are you allowed to say Kirshav Vana already last night? Was it allowed? So people think I know like the calendar by heart. I don't know the calendar by heart. I look over to Luach. So the Luach says you're allowed to say it last night up until like 10:43 or something. So depending on when the molad is, it's going to dictate whether Tubav is part of the first half of the month or the second half of the month. The question raised was, let's say it's part of the second half of the month and the moon is waning. It's getting smaller now. Is that considered part of this scheme of getting married as part of the first half of the month? It's clearly not. It's now mid-month, second half. So this is what he writes. He says, if you're looking in Simon Kuf Ayin Aleph, he says, we'll read that together. Nearly nesdaiti laosam hamadaktikin kifi amuva b'shulchan aruch yadeh Eben Ezer b'haga shelo lisa nashim el b'melva b'melua halavana, to get married only when the moon is getting bigger. V'hayim b'tchiyas chatzi yechodesh v'mchal hamola l'mashal. We could skip the molad stuff, but in a situation where the 15th is after the molad, so meaning it's getting smaller now, the moon. Look at the last four lines of this paragraph. So he says ish b'yom chamisha asar b'av dezil basatayma. Go based on the reason. The Melo Halavana, the completion, the filling of the moon, humishum simen tov, it's a good simen. Vein lechol simen tov yoser mizeh. There's no greater simen than Tubav. Forget the moon. Forget the moon. The moon's getting smaller. Kedeisa b'masechas tainis shelohaya yom tovim liyisol ki chamisha asar ba'av yom ha-kipurim. Shebehen benoz yushlaim yotes v'cholos b'kromim. They go dance in the vineyards. Umaya omrim, what would they say? Bocher. Sa'i necha, place your eyes, v'ayam mezuvagim, zivugim, b'osayom, they make shaduchim them. So it's a day of, it's a great day, it's musugal for getting married. So even if it's after the moon is getting smaller, it's still day that's musugal, a great simentov. V'yod yom shehutru shvatim levo zeh bezeh v'ein simentov l'gadol mezeh, and the shvatim were allowed to start marrying within other shvatim. This is a great day, it's very musugal, and therefore not to be concerned with that ramah, the guy with tublav. So now, interesting, those who are makbid on this din, of getting married the first half of the month, there are actually two exceptions we have. One is Tubav, that even though it's after, and who knows the other exception? Anyone know the other exception? Elul. Elul is called the month of Yimei Ratzon, and even the second half of the month, the Poskim say, it still is a fulfillment of this day. There's no concern, because the whole month is considered a Simon Bracha. Those are two exceptions we have. Now, he writes, the ode, moreover, Lo nikir behalvana adain chasona kinira bimilua. The 15th, even if it's after the moon's hit its peak, you can't really tell the difference. It's not about what is, it's about what looks like. The moon's always obviously is a full moon. We just don't always see the full moon. So if I can't notice the full moon, so that's that it's not a full moon, that's certainly fine. And then he leaves off with a nice bracha. Rachaman hu yishlach lanu goel tzedek v'yikuyam k'mishos k'chasun akala yosis alayach v'lokayach v'lahoyer inenu aleinu b'mor Torah im kol tov mutava v'nher b'yameinu amen. Beautiful bracha. Okay. That's the third tshuva. And the fourth and final tshuva is also from the Hisaros tshuva. So here, he is discussing the in Siman Tzarech Beis, the question of dancing on Shabbos. Dancing on Shabbos, is that allowed? We know it's not allowed. It's brought down. Shulchan Aruch and Mechaber is very, very makbid on this. Truth is, when early in the year, when Ramar came to Eish Kodesh Friday night, and someone was starting to clap a little bit, and I saw he looked who was clapping. He got very nervous. I said, "Oh, this is not going to be good, because when we start dancing, he's going to get very nervous." So we talked about dancing, and they tried to get him to dance. Whenever we have anyone dance, any guests come, he refused. He would not. Shulchan Aruch is very, very makbid on dancing on Shabbos. Ramah's Mekel. But also, the other question, based on this tshuva, there's probably room even for the Sfardim to Mekel on what's called dancing.
Right, so Rav Tzvi writes about it. He says that Hora is wrong. You can't do
it. Right.
But just moving your legs here and there when you have a simcha, you know.
Exactly. So there are a number of Sfardim afterwards who can't do a Weinberger. This doesn't mean we shouldn't be dancing anymore. He said, no, this is not really dancing. So here in the tshuva, he talks about this. So look what he writes in Siman Tzarech Beis. Tanan, Maseches Tainis Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, Lo Haya Yom Tovim LeYisrael K'Chamisha Asar Ba'av B'Yom Kippurim Shebehen Benos Yishlaim Yotzes V'Cholos B'Kromim. They would dance in the vineyard. Nistepakti Shem Chal Chamisha Asar Ba'av B'Shabbos. Let's say fell on Shabbos. Utsam Maseches Beis Masisin B'Yom Tov Amru Kav Chav B'Shabbos Eim Tapkin Eim Sapkin Eim Rapkin. He can't dance, he can't clap. So it's Mishum Shvus. So what happens if Tuba falls out on Shabbos? The girls are going to go out and they want to attract the men, but they're not allowed to dance. Yom Kippur, that the friend, that's what the pasuk refers to, Yom Kippur, and Tubav are lumped together. Shebehen yotzes b'mecholos b'rukamim, that Yom Kippur as well, also liyakid mishum shavus. So it's a shaila. Forget Tubav on Shabbos. Well, Yom Kippur, they do the same thing Yom Kippur. How are they able to dance in circles? So his first answer is ulai, az lo hayisa dying gzeres chachamim zu lesser arikud. Maybe this is prior to the takana against dancing on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, but bisman is there. Those who have this iser still intact, so then you wouldn't be able to do this on Yom Kippur, and nor on Tubav if it were to fall on Shabbos. V'yodei shalmar, so it goes into the whole thing about what Rashi is talking about, dancing. We go to the next page now. He says, maybe when Mecholos is mentioned in the Mishnah, although Rashi interprets Mecholos mean to dance, maybe it doesn't mean dancing. Right? He writes number three lines down, rather, the right column, top right, Mikol Makom, Yesh lomar shaloshon ha-mishnah cholos v'lo mecholos. Yesh lefar shehalchu soviv b'kramim kamosh bears Rashi b'gemara. That they'd walk in circles. They wouldn't dance, jump up and down. They wouldn't do any moves. They just walk around in a circle. What?
It says tupim.
Does it say tupim in the Mishnah?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. I don't think so. So they would walk in circles. So according to this, he assumed walking in circles is not considered dancing. Oh, so that's the assumption. So certainly standing in line, holding hands, shouldn't be considered dancing. That's his second suggestion. So that, therefore, Yom Kippur, you could walk in circles. And Tubav, Shechalios, B'Shabbos, you would be able to walk in circles. That's a very big nafkamina for those who are makbid on dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tif. What would the lacha be for these girls who go out in the krum?
There's an exception for Simchat
Torah. Yeah, exactly. That's Mefurash. Yeah, that's
so why can't we apply the same exemption for that?
It's a good question. Why not use that? Simchat Torah is a bigger, it's a Yom Tif. It's a much bigger day. It wouldn't. I guess he didn't feel like this was a strong enough reason. This is not much of a Yom Tif to bring that, but it's a good thought.
Certainly,
good thought, yeah.
Purely historically, Tuba'av is in a Mishnah as opposed to Simchat Torah, which is not. So we're making. If you think about it, historically, I mean, the origin of Simchat Torah is not as much later than the origin of Tuba'av. So you think.
Granted, but historically, Tuba'av is still not a strong Yom Tif, even though it might be earlier. Doesn't make it into a big Yom Tif. They didn't make it in such a way. Mm-hmm. Simchas Torah, though it came later, still late, and also is in Shmiat Tzeres as well.
Well, the Mishnah is Loyo Yom Tov Kumo,
right?
The Mashmah is
There's obviously something much deeper here. I'll share with you what I think is going on, shot, not based on Halacha, based on Machshava. Might be a little bit of my drush of the Shabbos if you're there, but he concludes as follows. He wants to know, why is Yom Kippur chosen as the day to do this? It's a very strange thing. To pick a shidduch on Yom Kippur, what's a shaykhus? So he says, Yei Shomer, last paragraph, how did bachru lehem Yom HaKippurim, the davar hazeh, that they chose Yom Kippur for the girls to go out, shu yom kodesh v'nor l'Hashem, dvukim b'machshavasim b'kedushas hayom, that you're connected to Hashem in the deepest ways to find a wife? Bishma tu ba'av aget haya yom mukhshu lezeh kedish hasham b'gemar, shlechenu yom tif, mipnei shu yom shutra v'shratim levavo zeh b'zeh. That was one of the reasons that tu ba'av, there's six reasons, I think, but one of the reasons is that, as we said, that the shratim can intermarry. So that's a great day for finding a shidduch. It was a mesugah for such a thing. But ma shaychus Yom Kippur? He gives two explanations. V'yishlomar mitam zeh ba'atzmo b'pnei kedushas Yom Kippurim ve'emas hadin hayakavanasim. They were living in such a fear of Yom Kippur. Rak l'shem shemayim u'mitzah l'ros isha kodem shiyaseh. And we know the Gemara in the Kedushin said you have to see a woman before you get married, lest you not like her. So then Yom Kippur is a great day to look at a isha. Why? Because now you're not looking at derechznus, it's Yom Kippur. You're doing with Einayim that are kosher. And therefore, it's very appropriate to pick out a shidduch. That's his first answer. The second answer he says, and I'll finish with this and I'll add some machshava based on this. V'od, yesh smach lezeh, ki b'yom ha-kippurim, nitnu luchos ha-achronos. That the second luchos were given on Yom Kippur. That Yom Kippur, the day the luchos were given, the second luchos, Rashi writes there, it was a Yom Chasunasa. That's what it means in the pasuk. Yom Chasunasa ze matan zu matan Torah, which is Yom Kippur. So it's a marriage between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. So based on that note, I'll just add, what about Tu B'Av? How's Tu B'Av? Why is that the day it's chosen? So he already gave a reason. But maybe we could say as well, based on the concept of Yom Kippur being Yom Chasunasa, you could perhaps say this follows. That we know there's Kedushin, there's Nisun. The Midrashim talk about, the Chazal talk about how Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Chasun, and we're the Kala. Kala is the Kala. So after the 3 weeks and 9 days, which is a period of separation, a get, there's some type of get that took place there. A get, Gimel Tes, Gimel stands for 3 weeks, and Tes stands for 9 days. It's a period of the separation. The Shvir Saluchos was the separation, the breaking, the separation, the divorce. And now we get remarried to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Kedushin, perhaps, the Kedushin is Tubav, and the Nisun is Yom Kippur. How do we see that the Yom Kippur, that Tubav is the Kedushin? So the Bnei Yisachar writes that Tubav is really the Tesvav, the 15th Aleph Beis, the 15th of Aleph Beis, which is Samech. Letter Samech is the 15th one. A Samech is a ring. Hariat Mekudesh Libet Bazu, you put the ring on the finger. Now, more interestingly, is that the Sefer Yetzirah writes that there are different numbers assigned to different parts of the body. You start with the right foot, the right toe. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hei. Ospris Kodesh is Vav, left toe, Zayin Ches Tes Yud Chaf. Now your hands, Lamed Mem Nun Samach Ein Pe Tzadi Kuf Resh Shin Tav. Fine. Which finger do we put the ring on? The right index finger, which is a Samach. You put the Samach on the Samach. There's such a connection of the Samach. So Tubav, which is the Samach, which is the ring, is the Kedushin, and Yom Kippur, which is the Yom Chupasi, Yom Chasunasa, is the Kodesh Kedashim, Kohen Gadol goes to Kodesh Kedashim, that's the Yichirum, that's the Nisun. These are the two parts. So Sukkos afterwards, Sukkos is the Shev Brachos, the 7 days of Sukkos, Shev Brachos. The Ov Yisrael writes, well, you need Panim Chadashos, right? So there is a Ushpizin each night of the Sukkos, that's the Panim Chadashos. And then Shmiat Teretz says that after all the parting's over, so then you go back home, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, party's over, let your husband and wife, Chasen and Kala, just have a normal life together. Now we miss one Yantiv, Rosh Hashanah. The Sfarim bring down, the Chassidim say, in Tubav, they would actually say, Ksiva Chassima Tova. Right now begins the process to Rosh Hashanah. A Kala, Gematria Kala, is 55. The 55 days from Tubav to Yom Kippur. That's the bridge. But what's Rosh Hashanah? So there's another Bnei Yisachar that writes, doesn't say all this, but I want to suggest, based on Bnei Yisachar, that May Rosh Hashanah is the Bedekin. Why the Bedekin? Because the Bedekin is the cover, the veil, the kisur, Bekesel Yom Chagenu, where the moon is completely Ezu, Chodesh, Levana, Niskase, Rosh Hashanah, there's no moon, it's completely hidden, it's a kisur, there's a covering, there's a veil. So the Svarim talk about Rosh Hashanah, the two nights, we know, connected Leah and Rachel. That's how the Svarim talk about, Leah and Rachel. So the Bnei Yisachar writes, which nights do you have Simanim? The Simanim we have, right? Brought down in the Gemara and Horios and Croesus, the Sheva Simanim, Rosh of a sheep, of a head, of a fish, or pomegranates. Say, which nights? Both nights, the first night? Bnei Yisachar writes the first night only. Why? Because the first night's connected Leah. Leah had the Simanim. Rachel didn't have the Simanim. Rachel gave them to Leah. And therefore, why do we have the Bedekin, the veil? Who's the Kala? We don't know. Yaakov got tricked. So we have to make sure. So Rosh Hashanah is celebrating who's under the veil, who's under the kisoy. So perhaps Tubav is the Kedushin, the Samech, and Rosh Hashanah is the Bedekin, Yom Kippur is the Chuppah, and then Sukkos is the Shai Brachos. Okay, everyone have a wonderful evening. My pleasure.